Welcome back to the House Kumizuka Podcast. I'm your host, Nick, and in today's episode, I am discussing Heartstopper episodes 5 through 8. It's kind of like a discussion slash a recap, so if you want a recap, keep listening. But if you don't know, but if you don't want to recap yet because you have not watched the show, then go watch the show and then come back over here and listen to part 1 first. And then, because I recapped episode 1 through 4, and then come back to this episode, where I'm recapping slash discussing episode 5 through 8. 8 being the last episode of season 1 of Heartstopper. Season 2 is already in production in Paris, so hopefully I will get to watch it soon. And let's get into it. But before we get into the discussion, last episode, I forgot to introduce the cast. So, Kid Connor plays Nick Nelson, Joe Locke plays Charlie Spring, Yasmin Finney plays L. Garnett Argent, Will and Gal plays Tao, Kizzy Wiggle plays Darcy, and Karina Brown plays Tyra Jones. Episode 5 is titled Friends. Nick needs to decide if he is going on his date with Imogen or to Charlie's party. While Tao vows to protect Charlie and Nick and his rugby friends from his rugby friends, what will Nick decide? Let's find out. Charlie, Tao, and Ill is playing Monopoly while Isaac is sleeping, being iconic. A fight breaks out at who is winning, and Isaac kicks the board over. Tal and Elle try to figure out a way to tell Charlie Nick is going on a date with Imogen. They agree to tell Charlie when he gets back upstairs, and Elle changes the subject, which leads to some strange attempts of dancing from Tal and a slight bit of farting. But it stops when Charlie and Isaac pops in the room with some snacks. Tal and Elle was about to tell Charlie about Nick, but Charlie asked them if it would be okay if Nick came to their birthday party. Now they have to keep Nick's secret date a secret. Okay then, I wrote that. Jump to the next day, before school, Nick tries to tell Imogen that he wants to cancel, but before he could, she tells him that her dog died. Now, he can't say nothing because how are you supposed to say that? You can say something like, "Hi, I want to cancel our date. Anyways, I'm sorry about your dog dying." No. that just seems wrong. Now, at form, Charlie invites Nick to his party. Tal and Charlie walk past Nick and his friends in the schoolyard. Harry uses this moment to throw something at them. This causes Tao to rush up and start arguing with them. Tao is the king of comebacks, and I'm living for it. Cut to Charlie's party, where Nick shows up with a present in his hands. Charlie asks his friends to be nice to Nick. Isaac and Elle is more welcoming, but Tao is still against the whole thing. Of course he is. Tao tells Charlie about Nick and Imogen, but Charlie doesn't believe him. Well, of course he wouldn't, because Tao is already mad that he's hanging out with Nick, so of course he's not going to believe him that Nick is going on a date with Imogen. I mean, you know, I wouldn't. Okay. Back at the lane, Nick heads off to get the group some drinks and food, leaving Elle and Isaac playing. While waiting at the counter term, Nick overhears Tal and Charlie's argument in the bathroom. Charlie sticks to the story that he is just a friend and isn't like the others. They find Nick outside the bathroom, but he doesn't say anything about the fight. He just hugs Charlie. He just loves giving hugs. Every time you turn around, Nick is giving Charlie a hug. I bet this man gives great hugs. I kind of want Kit Carney to give me a hug now. Because if Nick can give great hugs, that means Kit Carney can give great hugs. And, I want a hug from Kit Carney now. Because why not? Nick uses a quiet moment to try and talk to Tao. Tao warns him that if he ever hurts Charlie, it won't be pretty. It's his final warning. Nick tells Charlie that he overheard the conversation between Charlie and Tao. He apologizes about the whole Imogen thing, and he will make it work. Charlie has nothing but support through all this now to change the. Okay, what? Charlie has nothing but support through all this. Nick tries to change the subject. He gives Charlie his gift. Since it was short notice, he gives him a picture of them and Nick's dog playing in the snow, and it's the cutest thing ever. The next day, Charlie apologizes about their date, and they come to an understanding that where the. Okay. Okay. What? The next day, Charlie apologizes about that date to Imogen, and they come to an understanding, and that's where the episode ends. Also, Tao and Elle had a moment at their arcade, and I was speechless. I was like, oh, their first moment, and I'm living for it. Well, not their first moment, but it's like, it's like, I'm not okay. Okay. Now, what do we learn from this episode? Nick and Charlie is everything, and I bet Nick gives the great hugs. Nick gave their hugs. And again, I want a hug from Kit Connor. Now, on to the next episode. Episode 6. Now, on episode 6, titled Girls. I don't know why this is my favorite episode, but it is. So Nick is conflicted over how he's feeling. He clearly likes Charlie, but at the same time, still seems to have feelings for girls too. That much is especially apparent when he sits with his mom that night and watch the pair watch and the pair watches Pirates of the Caribbean. The episode opens as Nick and his mom get ready for movie night. She wants to watch Mamma Mia, but Nick is interested in watching a little more LGBT kind of movie. In the end, they settled on Pirates of the Caribbean, and the scene between Keira Knight and Orlando Bloom brings up some feelings, and Nick realizes that he might be bisexual. We love a good sexuality realization moment. Did I ever have that? I'm trying to remember, when did I know I was gay? Like, when was my realization moment? I probably had a lot of them, but I just can't remember. Ooh, I know one of them has to be Corbin Bleu from High School Musical. Oh, I love that man. What else? Shoot, what was another one? Justin Bieber was one of them. For some reason, he was. I just thought that man was a little wicked hot. I don't know why. But I think, like, younger Justin, I think. I don't know, like, old Justin. And I think because of his music, not because of the actual Justin, because of his music. His music was fire then. Now it's just a. Anyways. The next day, Elle, Darcy, and Tara is hanging out at lunch. Tara reads through on her coming out post and deletes homophobic comments while Elle is texting Tao. Elle opens up about her crush on him, but doesn't want to tell him with the fear of losing their friendship. Makes sense. Tara is still dealing with the stupid comments. Darcy finds the spot where they had their first kiss. Oh. Jump to Nick and Charlie on a picnic together. Nick asked Charlie when he realized that he was gay. Charlie shares how he had a feeling when he was younger, but Nick doesn't need to figure out his sexuality just yet. If he's not ready, slay. And if he is, purr. You know? It's boom. Okay, and now we go back to Nick's house after school, and he continues to research what bisexuality is. At school the next day, Nick walks Charlie to rehearsals. When he bumps into Tara, the two of them chat and catch up, and Nick tells her that he is seeing Charlie. She's the first person that he's told. Tara and Dossie spend their lunch break with Nick, and they ask if he wanted to be out yet, just yet. Judging by his friends and how they act and how the school bully Charlie, I understand why he is hesitant to come out. On the way back to the gym, Nick asked Tara if she was lesbian or bisexual, and how did she know? Her response was that she was a lesbian and that she knew when she and Charlie kissed when they were 13. She reminds Nick that if he's not ready, he doesn't have to rush, and he doesn't. Jump to the next day as the triple date between Tara and Darcy and Nick and Charlie kicks off. Elle and Tao are the first to arrive. The group shares a milkshake, and Darcy tries to meddle in Tao and Elle's relationship a bit. Charlie and Nick decides to go get refills and spend some quiet time together. When Tao gets up to help with the milkshakes, Elle called Darcy and Tara out for trying to meddle. She doesn't want to risk Tao knowing and ruining their friendship. Tao sends Nick and Charlie back to the table, and Elle questions them about the whole Tao and Elle thing. Nick tells her that they were really hoping to go on a triple date, Darcy and Tara, her and Tao, and Nick and Charlie. Charlie then tells her that Tao is the only one who doesn't know yet, and that he is trying to find the right moment to tell him. As they head off to the concert, we are treated by a sweet moment between Tao and Elle when they arrive at the concert. Tara overhears some homophobic comments and runs off with Darcy falls behind her. Elsewhere, Charlie teaches Nick how to play the drums. Charlie tells Nick that he wants to show that he wants him to come to the show, but he's scared that people might figure out that they're dating. Nick doesn't seem to care and open up about how he feels about being bisexual. Cut to Dara and Darcy, who gets locked in their room together. Tara just wants some peace and quiet. Darcy opens up about how she's feeling, how about people are treating her differently, even though she is the same person. Darcy is worried that if she regrets coming out, Tara doesn't want to deal with the homophobic comments, which is understandable in every way. The two reconcile while Nick and the others run screaming through the hallway looking for them. And the episode ends with Charlie playing the drums, Nick and Elle Tao watching the concerts. Yes. This isn't, y'all, this is my favorite episode because Nick had just had, he just like has a realization that he's not gay, that he is bisexual. And you know what? That is fine because, I don't know, being bi, people don't understand, like, that's a big thing too. Like, if you're bi, slay. If you're gay, slay. If you're lesbian, purr. If you're trans, like Elle, she is iconic. Yasmin Fee, I love her. Slay. Like, oh, and I just love this show, you know? It's like the greatest. Now, on to the next episode. Okay, now time for episode 7, titled Bully. So in this episode, both Nick and Tao gets into fights, and Charlie feels like he is the reason everything is wrong. But Charlie, you're not the reason that everything is going wrong because Nick and Tao is doing that to themselves because their life is so messed up. I can't, Nicholas. That's rude. You know, they're both going through some stuff, so of course it's not your fault. It's kind of theirs because they need to get their stuff together. I'm gonna be quiet. So the episode opens with Tori trying to pop in on Charlie as he is getting ready to go to the movie theaters with Nick and his friends. Tori is right about Nick's friends being mean and not knowing about their relationship. But Charlie isn't concerned, as he should be, as he shouldn't be. He does tell her that, you know, they don't have a label on relationship yet, since Nick hasn't come out to the world yet. It also has to do with something that has to do with Ben, because, you know, he got in his mind for some reason. Ugh. Charlie gets dropped off at the cinema, and his dad reminds him that if he needs anything, to let him know. Nick meets up with him and tries to make Charlie less nervous about hanging out with his friends. But then guess who shows up, and guess who's already there? Ben shows up and Harry is already there. So, you know, apparently Nick did not know that Harry and Ben was going to be there. So now they have to stay and watch a movie with those two. And you know what? It doesn't go good. Because when Charlie and Nick were watching the movie, they decided they wanted to hold hands. But Ben saw, and he was all jealous. But guess what? He can't be jealous because they broke up. And yeah. And Harry decided he'll make some homophobic comments. When is this man not ever make homophobic comments? That, like, is that his rich boy thing to do? Make homophobic comments? I think it is. My God. So Nick decided he had enough with Harry. So he decided that he'll start punching them and breaking out a fight. But Nick is the one that ends up with a busted lip. Nick, ended with a busted lip. Nick, do better. Like, practice your fighting or something, because, like, Charlie, because Harry's the one that's supposed to be the busted lip, not you. So, the next day, Charlie spends the lunch period hiding out in Mr. AJ's classroom, away from both Tal and Nick. Elsewhere, Tal tells Elle that he thinks that the whole argument with Harry is all his fault. He has put a target on both of their backs by standing up to Harry. It seems like this isn't the first time Harry has been a prick. That's no shock. Elle shares that he made transphobic comments, of course he did, to her during the last term at Truman. Why is that not shocking? So he's homophobic, he's transphobic, and I bet he is racist as well. I bet this man is racist. Because if he's transphobic, he's homophobic. He's biphobic too. Oh, I know he's racist. I know he's racist. He is a terrible individual all around. Elle changed the subject and tells Tal that she isn't surprised that Nick picked a fight with Harry, since he is making comments about Charlie. Tal realizes that something more is going on between Nick and Charlie, and Elle confirms his suspicions. She also tells him that all of their friends already know about it. Charlie wanted to tell Tal, but it wasn't the right time. Clearly, Tal's upset about being left out of this and rushes off before Elle can talk to him about it. Well, you know, he can't be mad. And I'll tell you why he can't be mad, because Charlie tried to talk to you, but every time he talks to you about Charlie, about Nick, you decided that you'll go all ham on him and say, how do you know Nick is gay? Da 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 da. I just don't want you to get hurt. And that's fine that you don't want Charlie to get hurt, but, like, If Charlie thinks that Nick is a nice guy, let him think Nick is a nice guy. And if he's not, Charlie will tell you that Nick is not a nice guy because he won't hang out with him. Because Charlie is purr. That's all I can say. So Harry decided that he'll do a fight again between him and Tao. So a first year decided to go tell Nick and Charlie that a fight is coming out. And they go out there and Tao is very angry and he confronts, that's not a word, confronts Charlie about Nick and Charlie's relationship, and that's where the episode ends. Yay. So we are going to take a break, and after the break, we are going to discuss episode 8. So enjoy these vocals from Joshua Bassett, who is the nicest person, who is the sweetest, who is the greatest actor in this world. And, well, let me rephrase that. Who was one of the greatest actors, and his music is great. So enjoy the break. I hope you enjoyed that break, but now it's time to get to the last episode of this season, episode 8, titled Boyfriends. Yes, Higgs and Truman come together for sports day, and Charlie's on the brink of ending things with Nick. The episode opens up with Charlie trying to reach out to Tao. When he doesn't respond, he turns to his music to try to help him escape, but his sister doesn't want to deal with the noise and the music and tries to get Charlie to open up about what's going on. Charlie blames himself for Nick and Tao's fight with Harry, but Tori doesn't. Tori knows that isn't the case, and she wasn't even there. Charlie opens up about how much Ben messed with his head, and now Nick is suffering because of him. If he weren't around, then everyone would be okay. Tori knows this isn't true and continues to comfort him. Sister of the Year. Now, Ben is not even around, and he's still making trouble for people. Ben is like a pest. When you shoo it off, he just comes running back. Why? Because he's annoying. If I can just take my shoe and just step on him. Just a little step. The dreams. Just a little squish, you know? Just a little squish in my shoe. Just to put him in a coma. I don't have to kill him. Just enough to put him in a coma, and we'll never have to see him again. A person can dream. The next day, Charlie shows up to school while Isaac is willing to talk to him. Tao is giving him the silence treatment. Silent treatment. The silence? Silence treatment? Silent treatment. The sports day between Truman and Higgs is coming up, and because he's on the rugby team, he'll be expected to participate with them and his friends. After class, Charlie runs into Nick in the hallway and blows him off his request to get lunch together. Instead, he runs to Koh Sing and quits the rugby team. Elsewhere, Nick confronts Tao during lunch to figure out what's going on with Charlie. Tao is over trying to protect Charlie from everything when he doesn't even act like he exists. Well, Tao, you have to understand, and I need you to, like, put this in your brain because it's not clicking. Charlie, he can make his own decisions, you know? And, you know, he tried to tell you about Nick. As I said in the last episode, he tried to tell you about Nick, but every time he did, you want to, like, I don't know what's the word, act like he's a bad person when he's not. So whenever he did try to tell you, you just brush it off like it was nothing. So you can't get mad because you was the last one to know when you could have been the first one to know. But you're so judgmental. Oh my gosh. It's getting on my nerves. Nick tells him that Charlie must have been really nervous about telling him about them because Charlie cares about Tao's opinion and doesn't want to disappoint him. Aww. Now cut to Elle, Darcy, and Tara arriving at Truman. It's the first time Elle is around everyone since she left Truman. And while she's nervous, she wants to be there. As the school gets ready for the event, Charlie keeps on avoiding Nick. Tao finds Elle and tells her that he hasn't even signed up for anything. Isaac eventually shows up, and when Elle asked about Charlie, no one has seen him. Of course, they all think he will participate in the rugby match later that day. Inside, Charlie meets up with Mr. AJ to hide away. He realizes something must be going on with Charlie. And even if he doesn't want to open about it, he gives him some advice. It might be easier to hide from one's problems, but loneliness can be just as bad, if not worse. He tells him that he won't kick him out of the art room, but he needs to not let people make him disappear. Oh my gosh. That's some good advice. Oh my gosh. You know, honestly, true. Like, you cannot let people scare you away into hiding. If you have a voice, just say what you want to say, and don't let anybody else bring you down. Like, I literally hate when people do that. Like, no, I'm gonna talk, and you gonna listen. I don't care if you don't listen. Goodness. I'm making no sense, but I hope I am. Outside, Coach Singh catches Tao and assigns him the 200-meter run, even though he sucks at running. Thankfully, Charlie comes to the rescue and swaps bibs with him. Charlie apologizes to Tao for all the trouble he caused before heading off into the race. Of course, Ben is there being a jerk face, but it's satisfying to see Charlie pull ahead and beat him in the run. Slay. And then the moment gets sweeter when Charlie finally stands up for himself and puts Ben in his place, as he should. After Charlie and Tao finally apologizes and move past their fight, they both understand that they have been better with friends, but are willing to work together to get past this. And maybe a few dozen movie nights with all of Tao's favorites. Tao leaves Charlie to wander the halls with Elle while the rest of the school watches Tara in the high jump and Isaac in the javelin throw. You know, he thought he really threw that javelin and he was so happy. But I'm gonna tell you, he didn't throw it far. Now while everybody else is like farther away from his is like in the front. He's in the front. So he really thought he did something. But he was happy. That's all that matters. Afterwards, Charlie and Tao, okay. Inside, Elle and Tao sneak into the art room. He shares his terrible landscape with her, and she debates telling him about her feelings. But Elle chickens out at the last minute, instead tries to rub his face paint off. There are two almost kisses before Elle dips off to find her out locker. Returns to the field as the rugby match kicks off. Charlie leaves his little highway, but Isaac highway with Isaac to watch the action and cheer on Nick. But Nick isn't up for playing rugby and leaves the field, grabs Charlie's hand and drags him off in front of everybody inside. Nick confronts Charlie about all his breakup stuff and tells him that he doesn't care about getting into fights with his mates as he should, or making people angry, because Charlie is worth it. Being with Charlie is the most thing that has, it's the best thing that ever happened to him, and he isn't willing to throw it away. Oh my god. Sorry, y'all. Nick asks Charlie if he is free this upcoming Saturday, and we skip to the very first date. Nick won't tell Charlie where they're going. There's a train and some seagulls before Nick finally realizes that Charlie took them to the beach. Okay, so on the train, we get a glimpse of Alice Oseman. So she made a cameo. Alice Oseman is like the author of the Heartstopper novels, and she made an appearance, and I saw this on Twitter, but somebody made a fan art of Nick and Charlie and Alice Oseman making eye contact, and I think it's weird because like the characters are meeting their creator. It's like it's meta, but it's not meta. So that's okay. So it jumps back to Nick returning home to find his mom with his newfound confidence. Nick sits down and tells his mom that Charlie is his boyfriend. It's sweet and supportive between mother and son, followed by a montage of Nick falling in love with Charlie over the last few months. Season one draws to a close after Nick and Charlie cuddle together on the beach. What? Oh my gosh. Oh. That was an episode, let me tell you. And it was the last episode of season one. I really love this show. When the show came out, I decided I would read the novels. I would actually recommend this show. If you like a coming-to-age show, and especially like a queer coming-to-age show, I think you will enjoy this. I love watching these kind of shows, except I have not seen Young Royals. I think I'm going to watch that one next, but I don't know. I hope you enjoyed this part two, the last part of my Heartstopper discussion/recap. Episode 8 was sort of everywhere because my notes, I should have read over my notes because they were like not good. I wrote them while I was trying to watch the show, which was my first mistake, because whenever I'm watching a show that I really enjoy, I don't want to be doing nothing else but watching it. So me deciding to write notes while I'm watching the show, and I think it's because if I watch it, after I watch it, I'm going to forget it. Like, that's every TV show I watch. I forget half of the things that happened in there. So for me, I thought it was a good idea to make the notes while I'm watching it. No, never again. Because it just, it was bad. So, again, I hope you enjoyed this episode. And I will see you next discussion. I don't know what it'll be yet, but it's going to be a good one. Bye. She said.
so thin. Star-